for those songs that he's picked. I was telling my wife this morning, when we get into the Lily of the Valley, last time we sang that, I found myself the entire next week singing it every day when I went through the door at work. And there people were like, what are you singing? I'm like, the Lily of the Valley. So I'm very excited to have that song. I got to tell you, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to speak here this morning. I'm not the normal speaker. Ben is. So I would like to thank Ben and the men for giving me this chance to be able to speak. Like I said, sometimes I get a little loud, so I think it comes with the nature of the job that I do. Being an artilleryman, I tend to, you know, you yell, we shell. So a lot of booms in my lifetime has made my hearing. My wife always tells me, I got to be quieter. And I'm like, I'm whispering. She goes, no, you're not. So that happens. Welcome to our visitors. I see that we got a lot of new faces here today. Really appreciate when you take time out of your schedule, if you're here on vacation, to come worship with us. I'll let you know that we hope that this is edifying to you and that your presence here today edifies us and it builds us up. And I know we have people that are visiting in the community, and if you're looking for a church home, we would like for you to consider the church here in Kahlua as a place that you would come worship. I know our military people, as they move in and out, and I will tell you, as one who has now spent over 22 years in the military, one of the most important things you can do is to find yourself, when you PCS to a place, is to get involved in the church. Get involved and place yourself there and do the will of the Father. This morning, we have assembled ourselves to worship the Lord. This morning, we've assembled ourselves to sing praises to our King. We've assembled ourselves to break bread and commune with the Lord, Acts 27. We have assembled ourselves. This morning, I would like to tell a little bit of a story. That's what I do best is tell stories. And it's an analogy, but makes several points, but it is but one story. And it's a story that I've heard in the past, and I'd like to take the time to share it with you. I never knew the strength of water. Never knew it. Growing up in Lubbock out in West Texas, you don't see enough water to really understand its power, to understand its strength. Water's kind of scarce as you see tumbleweeds go blowing by. Growing up in Hawaii, I'm sure y'all have seen a lot of water, right? Right next to the beach. Now, being here in Hawaii, I've seen the water. My family and I, we've gone down to the beaches. I've seen the cool kids out there on the surfboards. Woo! And I said, you know what? I like to be cool like them. No, I didn't go buy a surfboard. I went and bought a boogie board. And I've gone out to the beaches, and I didn't go deep. I only went waist high. I'm not as cool as those youngins. So my daughter and I were out there, and we wait for the waves, and we hang on, and I get on that boogie board, and it throws me here, it throws me there. A couple of times I went upside down, my feet were up in the air, I'm underwater, and the water's shooting up my nose. And, you know, a lot of people pay a lot of money for saltwater saline solutions. I got that one free. So being able to travel around, I will tell you, my parents carried me to see Niagara Falls when I was younger. Niagara Falls separates. It's on the border between the U.S. and Canada. If you ever get a chance to see it, it is so powerful. And you can look it up on the internet and see it. And what you learn there is what the power of a surge of water can do. Over 165-foot vertical fall. It's the most powerful waterfall in the world. And as you walk up to the falls, you hear the rushing sound. You can't miss it. You have to yell to the person that's next to you because of the rushing water. The mist is all in the air, so you're seeing it. You smell the water. One of the other things that you can learn about is the people that have gone over the falls, some voluntarily, some involuntarily. And there's rescues and there's tragedies from that. There's one of the stories you can learn about is about a barge that broke loose. And the barge had several men on it, and it came and it got high center before it went over the falls. Thousands upon thousands of people on both sides of the border showed up to watch as they tried to rescue these men that were stuck on a barge. One of the men in his early 20s went completely gray-headed in 21 days. He understood what the power of water could do. And the story I want to share with you this morning is about four men on a common fishing trip. Common if you live in that area. See, they were fishing below the falls, the area below where the falls landed, and they were having a good time, just like us, enjoying each other's company, enjoying each other's fellowship, you know, telling stories as they were in the boat. And as they fished, they really didn't pay attention to where they were going. They just moved from spot to spot, looking for a place to fish, simply a place to fish. And as they fished, they got close to the area of the falls where the water hits. Funny and strange as it seems, the water as it goes over the falls hits, and at some point the surface water starts pulling the water towards the falls. Underneath, the water is churning and still pushing everything downstream, but on top it has that effect that a pool to pull the water and things that are in the water towards the falls. The water is really going downstream, and the effects on top pulls towards the falls. And these men, they never gave any thought about that because, you see, they started downstream. Nature itself should have kept them downstream. And they did start downstream. And nature did keep them downstream. But they had a motor on their boat. And that motor on that boat was able to propel them further upstream. And they went up further and farther than they realized. They went where the surface waters were going back towards the falls. And when they realized it, they became scared. And in the boat, they started to panic. And they started moving around in the boat. And as things happened, they capsized. And as they fought with all their strength, they were thrown into the water. And they were struggling to get away. They were struggling to get away from the circumstances that they were in. All four powerful swimmers. All four try to produce enough energy, enough effort, enough motivation, and momentum to get away from the crush of the falls. But none were able to save themselves. They found themselves without strength. They now found themselves helpless and without hope. They felt that this was their last moment. This was their last chance. And at this moment when all was but lost, a time when they were at their weakest point, a time when they were most despondent, a lone fisherman showed up in a boat, seeing their need. Now, this fisherman was a little bit wiser, smarter. He took the time to tie his boat with a rope to a tree that was on the shore that would keep his boat from going further in. And in his boat, he had another rope. And on that rope, he had a life preserver. And that life preserver, he took and he threw out to the men that were in the water. The first man that had the rope thrown to him said to the fisherman, "No, I don't want the rope. I don't want the rope because I'm not going to get into the boat with you because I know who you are. You're a hypocrite, and I'm not going to get in the boat with you because you're a hypocrite." The second man, now having the opportunity to get the rope and life preserver, says, "I don't want it either. I don't like the rope you had. If you'd come in here with a clean, good-looking nylon rope, I might take it. But the rope you have is, it's greasy, it's dirty, and it's ugly. I don't want it." The third man looked at it and thought, "You know, I could probably get a hold of that rope and get in the boat, but I might fall off the rope. And even if I made it to the boat, most likely I would probably end up in the same situation again someday. So it makes no use or sense for me to get a hold of it." The fourth man, now having the opportunity to get a hold of the life preserver, and thought, "You know, I'd really like to get a hold of it. But now is not the best time. You know, I'm kind of enjoying the water right now." So he told the fisherman, "Friend," or as they say here in Hawaii, "Cousin, could you come back a little later? I'm not ready right now. Can you come back more convenient season?" And you and I look at this situation and we say, "That's crazy. That's ludicrous. That's absurd." And it is absurd because the circumstances that they were under. They're about to drown, and they passed up the rope. They knew they were going to die, yet they chose to reject life. And I would suggest to you and I that we are under similar circumstances. We are making the same mistakes as these men made. And the circumstances are this, that God offered salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. God offered salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, and we are lost, we are doomed, we are damned without Jesus Christ. Romans 3:10 tells us, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the wages of sin is death. The payment that we get for sin is death. Well, Dennis, how do I get rid of my sin? Well, if you look in the book of Acts chapter 2, you learn that the men there and the people there were convicted that they had sinned. The people were convicted that they had crucified Jesus. And after they were convicted that they had sinned, they were made to known to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is the Christ. By giving them the illustration that made the point that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus was the authority, Jesus was the anointed of God. And the people heard that in Acts 2:37. They were cut to the heart. And Peter and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? In verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And maybe the analogy is clear, or at least it is to me. The Lord has offered me salvation because I understand the danger of being lost. If you look in Mark 16:16, it tells us, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, and I'm not going to worry about getting in the boat with the hypocrite as the first man. I'm going to get in the boat with the Lord. And if the Lord can live with that hypocrite that's in the boat, I guarantee you I can too. I'm going to get in the boat with the Lord. And come judgment day, the Lord is going to do this discerning between the goats and the sheep, Matthew 25. The Lord will prune out those which are hypocrites and take those which are not hypocrites. I want in the boat with the Lord. And I'm not going to worry about who else is in the boat. I'm going to try to encourage others to get into the boat. And I'm going to try to throw out the rope and the life preservers to those who have never seen the boat. And I'm going to try not to be a hypocrite myself. But I'm not going to worry about who else is in the boat, with the exception of me being pushed off because a hypocrite is in the boat. So I'm grabbing hold of the rope, because I want to save my life. I understand that my life is in jeopardy. My eternal welfare is in jeopardy. I want in the boat. And who else is in the boat is no significance at all. And I'm not going to take the attitude like the second man. I don't like the rope that was thrown. It's greasy. It's dirty. I wish you would have shown up here with a brand new nylon rope. I'm going to grab a hold of the rope. And men and women hear things today like, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. And they say, I don't like the rope. I don't want to be baptized for the remission of my sins. I don't want to get wet. I don't want to get baptized in front of people. I don't want to commit my life to Christ. I don't think it's necessary. The Bible's written by men, and these are just rules that men placed on us. And they refuse to accept the Lord's rope. And I think I want to be saved. And I'm going to do what the Lord says to be saved. And when the Lord says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, it's up to me to do the believing, it's up to me to get baptized, and it's up to the Lord to do the saving. And I want the rope, the Lord through me. So I'm going to grab hold of that rope and hold on. I think of the other excuse that the third man gave and how crazy it is. Says, I'm not going to get a hold of it because I might slip out of my hands someday. And I might not make it anyway. And the third man says, you know, what difference does it make? Listen, there's no such animal as drowned-er. There's no such animal as lost-er. There's no such animal as dead-er. If I am lost and the Lord throws me a rope, I'm going to grab the rope. I might fall off this time. I might get back in deep water another time, but I'm going to grab hold of the rope every time the Lord throws it, especially when I understand where I am. and that is, I am lost without the Lord. And the overwhelming point that should be coming across to you and me is that being lost is just not an enemy we are afraid of as drowning. Being lost is an enemy that should be more feared than drowning or anything else that's out there. There's not a terminal illness more serious than being lost. There's not any other handicap or malady is more serious than being lost. We're only on this earth a short while, a twinkling of the eye, 1 Corinthians 15, but eternity's forever. And I want the Lord on the Lord's term. I want in the boat with the Lord. And the Lord can throw me any rope he wants to throw me. Just throw me a rope, Lord. Throw me a rope. And I don't know if I can hold on, but Lord, I want to grab hold of the rope, and I'm going to try to hold on with all that is within me. I want to hold on to the rope that the Lord threw me. And I'm not going to tell you to come back like the fourth man, because I understand today how serious it is to get a hold of the rope. In the New Testament, we can read that there were two men who told the Lord to come back. The first man said, come back in a more convenient season. The New Testament does not record that man was ever saved. The second man, King Agrippa, told Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The New Testament does not record that man ever found an altogether situation. He found an almost situation and never got where he was going. But today is a day of opportunity. It's not the first day of opportunity, but it is a day of opportunity. And the Lord is throwing again a life preserver and a rope to us. And what's our answer? The Lord says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He being generic for mankind. He that can hear, he that can believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and can understand the need for those things. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then you ask yourself, have I been baptized into Jesus? The Lord has thrown us the life preserver. And then we ask ourselves, what reason do we give again today to reject it? And some have been baptized, and if you've come into the Lord and you realize that you've been baptized into Jesus, and you find that your confidence is in the fact that you've been baptized. Our confidence is not in the fact that we've been baptized. Baptism is a covenant. It is a symbol of a covenant that I made with God. 1 Peter 3:21 that was read to us this morning that says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but a pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My confidence is not in the symbol, but in the covenant. And if I've made a covenant arrangement with God, I've got to live according to the covenant. I've got to live according to the promise. I must live according to the contract that I've made with God. I said, Lord, you're first in my life, and I want to live according to the covenant. And the Lord tells us not to put any other gods before him. He's supposed to be first in our life. We cannot serve two masters. And I'm called to remember John chapter 8, 11, where Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. Some versions and translations say, go, sin no more. So we don't continue to sin. We leave it. We don't do it. We don't continue to live a lifestyle that says, hey, I can sin on purpose and ask for forgiveness later. You ever heard that phrase? It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. 1 John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Romans 6, 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. And the Lord has given us the rope of salvation from death to life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have to live according to the covenant. And if I know that I'm away from the covenant, you have to feel that the Lord is throwing you a rope, a life preserver again. And He's saying, come home, come home. You get a hold and I'll do the pulling. Just grab a hold of the rope and I'll do the pulling. And the Lord is continuing to pull on our hearts, telling us to come home. Now, if you've ever been in a boat and you've just sort of floated out there, you know how the current can drift you along. You know how far the drift and tide can carry you along. The drift of sin can carry us to destruction. And we've got to work to get out of it. You just can't sit there and try to tread water. If you tread water, you go to destruction. And we've got to fight and swim. It's an uphill struggle all the way to get out of the drift of sin. We need to swim. We need to swim to the Lord. We need to grab hold of the life preserver and get into the boat with anyone who has told you God's holy word. And we must respond to God's holy word. To be that which we know we're supposed to be and do that which we know we're supposed to do. Be what God would have of you and me as we come closer to Him. And we don't criticize the rope. Any rope that is thrown by the Lord is the rope we want to hold on to. And I remember how they rejected Jesus. They thought an earthly king was going to come. He was going to be dressed in these royal robes. He was going to have a golden crown. He was going to have all these muscles, handsome guy with a sword, and he was going to establish this earthly kingdom. But Isaiah 53, 2 and 3 tells us, He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, He was despised and we held Him in low esteem. So we don't care what the rope looks like. We don't care what type of rope it is. But it was Jesus that said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we grab hold of the Lord's rope and we continue to move in the direction of the Lord. And we don't say, I might not hold on. Might not. But I will pray for an opportunity that rope's thrown again. And pray for another life preserver. So I grab what I can grab and hold on. And maybe the Lord will give me the strength that I don't have. But I, through the Lord, or through the Lord's help, will be able to hold on. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So today is a day of opportunity. The Lord is throwing a life preserver and saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you have a need, if you are subject to the invitation, won't you please come as we stand and sing.